Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wayne Greer from the Southern Baptist Church in Dallas, North Carolina. And you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We are having a good time. I'm grateful for the opportunity that we have to do that. And we're going to take just a moment to let you know about the ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and that is just off of Highway 105 South. That's going towards Fosco from the Boone city limits, from the town of Boone. And so we'd love for you to come by and visit with us if you are in the listening area. We meet Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., Sunday school for all ages, and then 11 a.m. is our Sunday morning worship service. Now, this coming Sunday will be a little bit different. At 10, we're going to have our Christmas program and then our regular preaching service at 11. So that's going to be on Christmas Day. And so I want to take just the opportunity and wish everybody a Merry Christmas. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day, wonderful time. We're looking forward to friends and family getting together and our daughter coming home and so and her husband. And so got a lot going on later on this week. And Noah's involved in a lot of that too, aren't you, Noah?
Yes, I'll be there too.
Good.
Yeah. And do want to say good morning and glad to be here today. Want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And we have been looking at the subject of education in America. This would be part number five. That we've been looking at the subject of education. Last week, we talked about the foundations in early American education. We're talking about, right now, we're talking about the colonial period. And we started with the Pilgrims, a little bit about that. In fact, we did a whole radio broadcast about the Pilgrims. But we're going to spend some time around the colonial period. And so that's the mid to late 1700s, early 1800s. We started last week, we were talking about foundations. Where does the foundation for our educational system in America come from? And we talked about the different readers. That was the first textbooks to come out in America were readers. And readers were just small little books. They were designed to be affordable. They were designed to be portable. You know, these weren't 1,000-page books. And, you know, people that lived in the 1700s, 1800s, they could make some big books back then. Well, these readers were designed to be portable, you know, that they could be carried. They could travel well. They were designed, of course, to teach, and they not only taught reading, they taught civics, they taught patriotism, they taught morality, they taught religion, religious truths. And so we talked about the first one was the New England Primer. And that little prayer, and I mentioned this last week, I'm just reviewing a little bit, but that little, maybe you've heard, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, that was in the New England Primer. I never knew that until just the past couple of weeks. So I thought that's very interesting that things we are maybe familiar with, but we don't know where they come from or where they started. Well, that started in America's first widely distributed textbook, the New England Reader. Then we talked about, second of all, the Blueback Speller. And then the third popular reader in America were McGuffey's readers. Noah Webster was the author of the Blue-Backed Speller. Now, my Noah, our Noah, he ought to be interested in this. Him and Noah Webster have the same initials. Noah's Noah Wynn, and Noah Webster's Noah Webster. And so, but Noah Webster is who we're going to begin to look at today. And in my opinion, now, I would say a lot of people, they don't know very much at all about Noah Webster. But just from studying history and the way I see it, Noah Webster is one of America's greatest contributors. I mean, he ought to be right up there with George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, a lot of famous Americans. Well, he is famous. His work, his educational work, literally influenced our whole society. And I'm going to give some examples later on about how his influence, his work, has influenced all of our society in America. But his, not only his speller, dictionary, his works are what I would consider a national treasure. I mean, so important in influencing our country early on. You may not know much about Noah Webster, but most have heard of a Webster's Dictionary. Now, this is interesting. This morning, I was heading out the door. My wife was watching the morning headlines, and there was a story, and I was in a hurry, so I didn't catch all of it, but they were talking on the news about that somewhere, and I didn't even know where it was, but they had found an overdue library book, and it was, they were talking about, this is the farthest overdue any library book's ever been, but what it was a Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And of course, that is tied in later years with a Noah, or with a Webster's dictionary. So most people are familiar, I mean, that's very common, a Webster's dictionary, or a Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Wikipedia, which is a good source for studying and for learning things. I might go over why Wikipedia is such a good resource sometime. Better many times than an encyclopedia. But anyway, Wikipedia, that's, you go, you know, on the internet and go to Wikipedia and you can type in about anything and learn about it. Well, Wikipedia says this about Noah Webster. Now, Noah Webster, he was American born, meaning he did not, he was not born in England and come over here, but he was of Pilgrim relation. He was related to the Pilgrims. And he was born October the 16th, 1758. He died May the 28th, 1843. And Wikipedia says Noah Webster was an American lexicographer. That's a hard word for me to say. That means he worked on dictionaries. Words. His business was words and the study of words. He was a textbook pioneer. English language spelling reformer, political writer, editor, and prolific author. He has been called the father of American scholarship and education. And so that's very important. Noah Webster has been called the father of American scholarship and education. He graduated from Yale. His master's thesis was entitled A Dissertation Upon the Universal Diffusion of Literature as an Introductory to the Universal Diffusion of Christianity. And so that's a real fancy way to express the idea that it's very important to learn to read. It's very important to be educated that Christianity might be promulgated, that it might be propagated. And so the connection between language and words and Christianity. Noah Webster, he wrote on that in his master's thesis. When they talked about literature, when Noah Webster, others of his time period, when they talked about literature, though, it was more than just reading books. To study literature refers to education. It meant at that time, the definition by Samuel Johnson said that literature was learning, skill in letters. And so literature had to do with learning. It had to do with education. By trade, Noah Webster was a lawyer, and he supplemented his income by teaching. So his first career was not to be a teacher, not to be an educator, but he started out as a lawyer, and then he got into teaching, and that became the main emphasis of his life, was education and literature. During the Constitutional Convention, Noah Webster, he was 29 years old. He was young. You know, he's younger than George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all of those men. But in his diary, he records over that the time period of that summer, different men came to see him and ask his advice. And George Washington came to see him. Benjamin Franklin came to see him. James Madison. A lot of the signers of the Declaration of Independence came to talk with Noah Webster. Noah Webster was asked to write an essay in support of the Constitution. When they finished the Constitution and Noah Webster looked at it, and they asked him to write an essay. Well, he wrote an essay in support of the Constitution that was widely distributed. It was widely used in favor of, dealt with some of the arguments against the Constitution, and they used Noah Webster's essay to answer those arguments. So Noah Webster was very highly intelligent, and he knew about government. He knew about what was going on, and so he's very important in the history of our country. It is said, though, when we come back to the subject of his spellers, his dictionary, it is said that he taught five generations of Americans how to spell and read. It's hard for us to realize the influence of one person. But he published his speller in 1783, his grammar book in 1784, and his reader in 1785. And so they were successive. They were part one, part two, and part three. And these volumes, these three volumes, were published and distributed throughout America again and again and again, to the point that it became the basis of the American system of education. And so we're studying about education, the importance of education, the coming about of education in America. His work became the basis, the foundation. If you want to know why something is the way it is, look at the foundation of it. And so this became the basis of an American system of education. His Blue Book Speller was published for over 100 years. There's never been a textbook, a school textbook, that has stayed in print, in circulation. That'll never happen again. I mean, when we were in school, and this has been not 100 years ago, but it seems now it's been a long time ago. You know, when I was in school, we had different books every year. I mean, it's a business now. Then by necessity, but his book was in publication for over 100 years. That is why it is said that Noah Webster taught five generations of Americans to read and to write. Over that 100-year time period, over 100 million copies of the Blueback Speller. And no other textbook has ever come close to that. And so you can see just by pure volume of the many, many books that there were, how this could influence our country today. You think about our nation was much younger at that time. In fact, it was new, it was brand new. And Webster's spellers, grammars, dictionary books, they went everywhere. They were used in the North. They were used in New England. They were used in the Deep South. They were used to teach poor people, rich people. They were used to teach immigrants that would come from other countries and want to learn how to read, learn how to write. They were used in the cabins. They were used in the covered wagons that were going west, and moms would teach their children along the way about reading, writing, all of these things. They passed them down. They took care of their stuff. And so just all throughout America, you have Webster teaching children how to read, how to write. The most readily available literature during that time period that most homes would have available to them would be, number one, the Bible. The Bible was the most available book during that time. Also, Shakespeare. I remember, and I'll just be honest, we read and studied Shakespeare in school. I never cared much for it. I probably would more now than I did then, just because I've read more. But anyway, Shakespeare. And it's interesting. If you read in fact, I've got a book about Daniel Boone. I'll just use this for an example. You think about Daniel Boone, coonskin cap. He didn't really wear a coonskin cap. He wore a floppy hat. But anyway, you know, you have this pioneer, this mountain man image. You know, he was very well spoken. He couldn't spell very good, but he was very well spoken from reading the Bible, from reading, being exposed to Shakespeare. They were very well spoken. And then Webster Speller. So they had a Bible. They had exposure to Shakespeare. They had blueback spellers. They had readers. And so this is what they had to use to educate their children during that time period. Rosalie J. Slater wrote this in 1967, that Noah's books, talking about Noah Webster, Noah's books were an ark in which the American Christian spirit rode the deluge of rising anti-Christian and anti-Republican waters which threatened so often to inundate the nation. Now, at that time period as well, there were many enemies to America, to a new nation, to separating from England. There were enemies to Christianity, and there was a lot of writing, there was a lot of debate. And so she said that Noah's books were the ark that carried us through that time period. And we're going to talk a little bit more later on about, and we're going to eventually come to this, but for all the effort there's been in America to build up our educational system and to make it great, there's also been opposition to tear it down and make it communism, really. Well, we're going to get to that a little bit later. But anyway, she said Noah's books are what carried us through that time period of anti-Christian, anti-Republican waters. Mr. Webster believed in the Bible. He was a Bible-believing Christian. I'm going to talk a little bit later about how he came to be converted to Christ. But one of the themes, now, he did not believe that our textbooks should contain only the Bible. He believed that that would tend to irreverence. And so that is not the overwhelming theme, but all throughout his textbooks you find it sprinkled in. You find references to Scripture. But he believed that overexposure of the Bible would tend to irreverence. And so he reverenced the Bible, God's Word, and wanted it to be used correctly. And so I appreciate that. But he did believe in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. The Bible says over there, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. If you study that out, what that literally means, it means the education of a child, the education, the discipline, the upbringing, the training of a child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So he believed in the raising up of the children, and that theme went all throughout his spellers, his dictionary, all of his work. His works, if you study about, and we'll give some examples of this a little bit later on in our studies, his works were patriotic. He believed in America, and he believed in building up our country, and that America was separate from England, that it wasn't the same thing. He said this about America, if I can find it quickly over here, he's talking about our country. He said America must be, let me find my place right here. He said, this country, talking about America, this country, America, must be distinguished by the superiority of her literary improvements. He said, Europe is grown old in folly, corruption, and tyranny. In that country, laws are perverted, manners are licentious, literature is declining, and human nature debased. For America to adopt the habits and the maxims of the old world, talking about Europe, he said, would be to stamp the wrinkles of decrepit age upon the bloom of youth. He said, American glory begins to dawn at a favorable period. It is the business of Americans to select the wisdom of all nations. He goes on, he talks about virtue, patriotism, improvement of the sciences, purity of language. But one thing about Noah Webster that you can say about him, and he had a lot of conflict, he had a lot of controversy, he had a lot of detractors in his life, and it seemed like he was always answering attacks upon him and his way of thinking. But one thing about Noah Webster, you have to say, America, he was true blue, he was American to the core, and he was for this country. His spellers talk patriotism. His spellers taught civics, and we spent many weeks talking about civics, and that is civics is our responsibility and our duties as citizens and how the government works. And his spellers taught about the Constitution, and so he incorporated all of these in a child learning how to read. There were moral lessons. There were religious lessons, truths about God. And so Noah Webster stressed the need for an American education. Now, let me give you an example of how Noah Webster's lifelong work has benefited all of us. And I say all of us, all Americans, and anybody that comes to America and learns English, learns how to speak English in America, because it's different in other countries. American is a language. We all use English, but we don't all speak American. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Noah Webster, you talk about a visionary, you talk about thinking ahead. And one of his desires, and this is mentioned in his own writings, and I might bring in the actual quote in weeks ahead, but he talked about that the blessings of liberty to our posterity. He believed in the youth of America, and he believed in passing on something to them worth keeping. And in order to do that, in order for America to remain America and not just become England all over again, he believed we had to have our own language. We all use English, but he believed Americans had to have their own language. And he believed that we had a great need for a universal American language. And I want to give an example today how that we all benefit from that work by Noah Webster. Now, for example, this radio broadcast you're listening in today. This radio broadcast, if we looked on a map and the coverage of the different radio stations, would cover literally thousands of square miles. This radio broadcast can be heard in North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, parts of West Virginia. It reaches into South Carolina. It can be heard in parts of Kentucky, just the very eastern edge of it, different places. And it's also broadcast. It's on three different radio stations. It's also broadcast on FM in South Dakota. Now, no matter where you are, if you picked up this radio broadcast and you're an American, you'll understand everything I'm saying. Why? Because we're all speaking the same language. There's no language barrier whatsoever. We're covering thousands of square miles now. Think about that. Now, if you took the same model and you move this example to the country of England, for example, and you could set that down right probably in the middle of the country of England. And the same square mile coverage, you would go into Wales, and you would go into Scotland. And so you'd have England, Wales, and Scotland, three different countries. They all speak English, but they speak different English than we do. If you took a pastor, say, from Manchester, England. Manchester, England is known for a very strong regional accent. And you broadcast him over the same square mileage, there would be literally thousands and thousands of people that could not understand, although they're living on the same island and they all speak the same English language. You would have people from Wales, you would have people from Scotland, you'd have people from Northern England, Southern England, and they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand what was being said. And I lived in England, and I've seen that firsthand. You think you have strong accent differences here in America? You ought to try going to Europe. You ought to try going to England. There's some English people, you would hear them, you could not understand hardly anything they said. So they couldn't understand each other. I'm from North Carolina. I have a Southern accent. I have been all over America. I have been to Alaska. That's as far as you can go. I have been, the only place I've ever had any trouble being understood or understanding was when I was a little boy. I was with my dad down in Louisiana, and we met a Cajun man, and I couldn't understand what he was saying to me, and I remember my dad translating for me. But in America, you can go anywhere. You might have a strong Northern accent. You might have a strong Southern accent from somebody. But we can all understand each other. Why? Because of the basis of our education and because of the influence of Noah Webster and his work, his dictionary, his spellers, his grammar books. Making America have a universal language, that is the work of Noah Webster, and that's why I say he's one of the greatest American heroes that we have because of his work. And in America, you have people from all over the world coming here and adapting and learning. That first generation that would learn to read from that blueback speller, they could all speak, they could all understand. It's one of the reasons that our country became as great as it was. Just one of the reasons. And so just beginning to think and talk about the influence of Noah Webster. And so education in our country is very, very important. The first emphasis was on religion, morality, and knowledge. That knowledge being reading, writing, and arithmetic. Education was to teach our children patriotism and to teach our children how our government works and how to be a good citizen. And my, how important that still is today. Well, I see our time is quickly come and gone today. I do appreciate you listening in. Hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. That'll be here later on this week. So wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Lord willing. We'll see you again next time. Noah's going to give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website. It's mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEVANONBC.org.